Hello and welcome to another episode of Stocks to Watch, a platform to help you get the information you need from company leaders to make smart investment decisions. I am Munir Barazi, your business analyst and host, and today I'm speaking with Julian Davey, the president and CEO of Tarco Resources, an exploration company with an impressive portfolio of polymetallic properties in North America. The company is listed on the TSX Venture Exchange as TKU, on the OTCQB as TRKUF, and on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange as 7TK. Julian, welcome back.
Thank you, Munir. It's a pleasure to be here.
Likewise. Congratulations on your recent announcement. Tarco has recently acquired claims in the Abitibi region. Why the Abitibi region?
That's a really interesting question. I think the Abitibi Greenstone Belt, the way we like to call it, it's probably the most largest mineral-rich belt in the world. It hosts many major gold and base metal deposits. We have to understand that it's a geological structure that runs through the Canadian Shield, over 650 kilometers wide by 150 kilometers wide also. So it has a 100-year mining history. And I put down a few notes here, but it's known to have produced over 200 million ounces of gold, probably the doubled amount of silver, and probably about 15 billion tons of copper and 35 billion tons of zinc. And that in more than 100 different mines. It's a huge area, and that's probably one of the most prolific belts in the world. And there is a geological reason behind that. Just for the nerds, it's a 2.7 billion years old belt formed by volcanic activity. You can imagine a lot of volcanoes adjacent to an old Canadian Shield that is, older than the younger volcan in the area. And it's a typical mix of sedimentary rocks compressed with volcanic rocks. And you have through that different types of igneous rocks, so mostly granite that comes from the Shield below. And the minerals that are common in that type of environment is typically, of course, gold. We know that, but also other like nickel, copper, zinc, and also silver. And that's typical for a greenstone belt. But we also have a whole family of minerals that are related to the granitic intrusions, like the lithium deposit we have also in the Abitibi. So, and finally, to explain why the beauty of this mineral deposit mechanism, we have to understand that it is an active mechanism. And there are a lot of regional structures, what we call fault or shear zone, that comes from that compression. And those regional shear zone provide important, what we call pathway for the fluids responsible for the mineral deposits that we are mining today. So many of the richest deposits in the Abitibi Greenstone Belt are spread along those major shear zones. So from the south to the north, we have different several shear zones. We could think of the well-known Cadillac Larder Lake, where we have Val d'Or, Rouyn-Noranda, Kirkland Lake in Ontario. And then we have the Porcupine Destor, where we have the Timmins, the Casaberardi Fault, and finally, the one where Tarco has most of this project in Abitibi is the Sunday Lake Deformation Zone, where there is this gigantic 25 million ounces gold mine, the Detour Lake Mine. So there are reasons why the Abitibi Greenstone Belt is so prolific. It's because of that geology, that beautiful geology. And we are, Tarco have projects so along the Sunday Lake Deformation Zone and the Casaberardi.
Yeah, I can definitely see why you were attracted to this region in particular. And thank you for going through the geological features and explaining why it is such a good area to operate in. Can you tell us a bit more about your specific claims that you have acquired? What do they cover?
The Calypso project that we recently acquired covers a splay of the Casabe Rarity shear zone. It's in between, it's about 6 kilometers long of a strike along a regional structure without any work that has been done in the past, probably because there are no outcrops in the area. So we evaluate all the data available and using all kind of, we have our own data internally, we have software that we are using. We also use more and more AI softwares used by contractors to help us digesting all those data to find that area, which was open to claim, has the same potential as many other deposits, gold deposits, in the same geological units and in the vicinity of this Calypso project. So that's one of the reasons why we acquire those claims.
And I understand that instead of financing, you chose staking as an approach for this project. What are the advantages of staking?
When you are staking, it has to be free. It means that it's open to stake. Nobody else owns that land. Sometimes, in some cases, you are buying claims because you think that the vendor is selling you something at the right price, or you specifically want to acquire this. As a junior exploration company, we cannot spend too much in terms of capital into acquiring new claims because we want to sell them back in the future. So the ideal situation for us is always to stay alert on what is available, what is people letting go because they didn't work on it. And in Quebec, for example, we have 2 or 3 years. The first time we are acquiring claims, we have three years to renew them. But after that, we have to spend enough money on the claims to hold them every 2 years. So sometimes people don't spend the right amount and they simply let them go because they have too many projects, or the type of commodity they were looking for is not of interest anymore. And that's why you have sometimes land or packages that are becoming available. And it's all public data, so you have to be aware how to do it and on your computer exactly at the right time at 9 o'clock in the morning at the specific date. That's how we are claiming the claims.
Yeah, so you have to be really active and diligent when it comes to finding those claims. Very interesting approach, and I imagine it protects shareholders from potential dilution. Tarku is known for its data-intensive and sophisticated approach when it comes to project generation. So those new claims must have met specific criteria for you to decide that, yes, we want to acquire those claims. Tell us more about your due diligence process.
So yes, absolutely. We spoke about the geological environment in the Abitibi Greenstone Belt. That's the most important criteria we are using. It has to make sense, geologically speaking. If you are in the right geological environment, you have more chances to make mineral discoveries. And that's the most important criteria we have to use. Also, the jurisdiction, also, it has to make sense. We have projects in Arizona and in Quebec, two mining jurisdictions that are mining friendly. It has to stay safe in a way. It has to be attractive for investors. We have to have area where investors could also find a way to lower their credits. In Quebec or in Canada, we have flow-through money that is available for investors. And that is a fiscal mechanism that is really attractive for investors. And then we are also looking terms of criteria. We are also looking if somebody else did the expiration before us. The same way, sometimes it is impressive to see that companies are sitting on huge land package and doing really little exploration or specific exploration for one commodity in the Matagami area. All the historic exploration has been done for zinc. Nobody was looking for gold 50 years ago in Matagami. Nobody was looking for lithium in the Abitibi region before a few years ago. So attraction, commodity markets are changing. We have to adapt ourselves. We have to change with the market's demand. And that's also a criteria we are looking for. So as I mentioned, we have different projects with a portfolio of project in different commodities. We have, it doesn't mean that because we are acquiring new claims that we are going to change our priority in terms of exploration. Of course not. The new Barmat claims or the new Calypso claims will not be our first priority, of course, but it just gives us more munitions to make new discoveries. Our priority will still be the 3As and the Silver Strike project in Arizona, that's for sure.
These are very, very interesting and encouraging features. You want to focus on gold, but you also want to try to take advantage of other resources that you're likely going to find there. Is that correct?
Correct. Gold and silver are our commodities, the commodities that we are focusing on. But some projects have secondary commodities also that comes with the geological environment. On Apollo, part of our 3As, it's a typical orogenic gold target that we are seeking. This is usually known to carry mostly gold, but a CRD model like the one we have in Arizona, a CRD for carbonate replacement deposit, that is typically a porphyry type of deposit, which is known to hold silver. As we all know, the Tombstone area produced over 32 million ounces of silver in the past, but it also carries copper, gold as secondary minerals, but also lead and zinc. So depending on the environment where you are, you always have a more important commodity and usually a secondary or more than just one, but secondary commodities that are attached to the environment you're in.
And now following this acquisition, Tarku oversees several highly prospective projects. You have the 3As, you have your project in Arizona, the Silver Strike project, and you also have your lithium property that you've recently acquired as well. How do you manage your portfolio as a whole? And what advantages does this give you of overseeing all of those projects?
That's interesting because we are a junior exploration company. I always go back to that because that's our reality. We are not a big company that will build a mine. This is not our expertise. Our expertise is to put all our effort on making discoveries. And like anything else, we have to diversify our portfolio, our risk. If we put all the eggs in the same basket, if the gold market is crawling down, then we don't have any other projects available. We're going to suffer a lot. So we have to diversify ourselves the same way investors are diversifying their own investments. If I take the example of Apollo, which is part of the 3As, as we mentioned, for example, we did a really interesting drill program last year, and we demonstrate what we were looking for. We really demonstrate that there is a regional gold system in the area. We found hundreds of different low-grade material interceptions. We had some intercepts of 40 meters long, intercepts of 0.4 grams per ton. Yes, this is low-grade, but we also have intersection of until 5 grams per ton. And that is a demonstration that there is a system that feeds those results. It has to be a system in the area that feeds those gold results. And so we did our first drill program after numerous years of exploring, and we simply didn't drill the heart of the system yet. We had a budget to do, for example, 3,000 meters. It was about 8 holes that we did over an area of 3 kilometers. And you can imagine 8 holes on a surface of 3 kilometers long to hit already gold and results up to 5 grams per ton means that there is a gold system. And if we look around, our neighbors did the same thing, the same approach. They were looking for a regional gold system, original gold system, and they also hit intersection of about 150 meters of low-grade material. So it means that the Sunday Lake structure, which was in the past in the Matagami area, only looked for zinc. It means that if you look the right way, you could find also gold. It makes sense, geologically speaking. And we did find a new gold system here. I can give you, if we have time, I can give you the same example with our Arizona project, the Silver Strike project, which is what I call really a big league project. But that's another example I can give you.
There is so much potential to discover, undoubtedly. And you mentioned that you have certain priorities for the rest of the year. So walk us through those priorities moving forward.
So the priority for us is to make discoveries. That's for sure. It's to create value from a small capitalization share price. We have to continue delivering news, exploration news, and we have to do this on projects that make sense. So as a junior exploration company, we decided to use a strategy not to put all the eggs in the same basket. So we have several projects covering several commodities and projects that have potential to make discoveries. So that takes knowledge from our technical team. It takes the ability to keep the land position, and it takes also good shareholders that are supporting the stock of Tarku. And I think that at the time we are, with the market we are seeing today, since early March, we are seeing gold and silver price rising. For us, it's definitely a message that we are going to see a year 2024 way better than our 2023.
Wonderful. And speaking of shareholders, what does all of those updates mean for them, both current shareholders and potential ones? Why should they be as excited as you are about this new acquisition?
Investing in mining exploration is all about, I would say, managing the opportunities, the risks, the same way we are managing the risk in terms of acquiring or claiming the right project in the right jurisdictions. We all know that shareholders or investors that are investing in small capitalization companies, they're not there for the 4-5% yield in their investment. They're there to take some risks, And usually they are there for what I call the discovery bagger. And that could happen to exploration company that are in the right place, geologically speaking. And I believe we are in the right jurisdiction. We have project that we own 100%. That is something that we didn't discuss, but it's really at worth a lot to own 100% of your project. Now that we have the markets that are showing again interests for gold and silver projects, I think today Tarku is in really well position. And with the market value that we have, it's an opportunistic bargain for any new investors. And for our existing shareholders that could have come at a higher price, I could tell them that we are really doing everything to be able to release new exploration results. And with the market conditions here, I think our share price could take advantage of any good results.
It could indeed. You have a well-diversified portfolio, great management, and very impressive regions and locations you operate in. So it's a very good opportunity indeed. Julian Davey, the CEO and president of Tarku Resources, thank you so much for sharing all of those updates and insights with us today. We look forward to hearing more from Tarku Resources very soon.
It was a pleasure, Monir. Have a good day.
Have a good day.